We have a big event coming up in the history of our country, the inauguration of a new president, and there's lots of anticipation and excitement that surrounds that. And this has happened in some form or other many, many, many times around the world and every country. Remember the story in 1 Kings chapter 12 of Rehoboam, Solomon's son's coronation as king? Evidently, at his inauguration, the people had the opportunity to say something because they had chosen a spokesman, and that spokesman, speaking on behalf of the people, said, "Your father was really hard on us. And if you'll lighten up some, we'll be happy to serve you from now on." And by the way, we wouldn't have known that about Solomon if we hadn't read that right there, because we read about Solomon's wisdom and some mistakes he made and so forth. But evidently, he built much of his reputation on the back of his people and taxes. And so this new king says, "Well, give me 3 days to consider what you've asked, and then I'll come back to you with my decision." You remember the story how he consults the old men. And they say to him, and by the way, it wouldn't be a bad speech to be made this week. They say to him, "If you have a servant's heart and you want to serve the people, and number two, if you will be answerable to the people, and number three, if you will speak encouraging words to them, then the people will serve you forever." Now, that wouldn't be a bad outline for an inauguration talk this week, would it? If you would be willing to serve the people and be willing to be answerable to them and speak good words of encouragement to them, then they'll serve you forever. And so he decides, well, let me talk to somebody else, and he goes to his peers, the young men that he had grown up with, his childhood friends. And they've got lots of tracks together. They know one another well. And they say to him, and I'm certainly paraphrasing, you've got the opportunity to make a name for yourself. And in order to do so, you're going to have to outdo your old man. Now, that's not too unlike every generation that comes up. Every young man feels like he's got to outdo his dad. He's got to do whatever his dad did. He's got to do it somehow bigger and better. And so that advice he decided to take, and he came back to the people, and he said, "My father made your yoke heavy, but I'll add to your yoke. My father chastised you with whips, but I'll chastise you with scorpions." He made a decision. He took some advice, made a decision. And you know the consequences, or at least you're aware of some of them. It was tragic. It was disastrous to him, to his family, and to the nation. And I want to at least think that if he had known the magnitude of the consequences of the decision that he was making, I'm pretty sure that he would have made another decision, aren't you? If he had just known how important this one decision was, then I like to think at least that he would have made a different one. The consequences were disastrous, but he had had an opportunity to do something really incredible and wonderful and meaningful, but he blew it because he took the wrong advice. You need to know that the world is filled with some really bad advice about marriage and homes today. And most people are listening to wrong voices and making decisions based on some really poor information. And in many cases, the consequences are disastrous. And it's getting more and more so. We're reaping the disastrous consequences of those poor decisions in our nation. And it gets increasingly worse. The first thing that I really want to drive a peg, you need to take the responsibility to find out what God says about how to have a happy marriage and a happy home. And if your preacher helps you come come to that understanding, that's great. And if your friends do, that's great. And if someone else does, that's great. But whether anybody else does or not, you accept the responsibility of finding out what God says about how to have a happy marriage and a productive home. You accept that responsibility yourself. God has some really definite, clear laws for family and every single person in it. And the fact that the world refuses to hear and accept what God has to say should provide us with a pretty good reason for examining it closely. That within itself, the fact that most people reject it, ought to give us incentive to look into it with a positive attitude. Our primary passage is from Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21 through 33, and I would invite you to turn your Bibles there. And while you're doing so, remember that the teachings of the Bible are real. They're practical. They're not some ideal, unattainable philosophy. It's not designed. The Bible is not designed to add a new dimension to your life, to help you tweak your marriage, your home, your life. But rather, the Bible is designed to determine and define how you live. It is our light. It is our lamp. It is our guide. And we follow it. And if we're not going to use it the way that it's designed, and we only use it in ways to suit ourselves, then we're bringing condemnation on ourselves. And we're not going to have the kind of results that God wants us to have in our home. Ephesians chapters 1 through 3 describes your identity. That's who you are. And so when you read through that, read it with this in mind. The first three chapters tell you who you are, the position that you've been put in, what's been done for you by God. And then chapters 4 through 6 describe how you are to live. It gives the practical application of it. And you know, as is always the case, what it has to say in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 6 about how we're to live our life, this new life, is radically different from anything the world has ever known. It is counterculture. It's always counterculture. And that means, among other things, you're not going to learn this anywhere else. Nobody else is going to teach you this except God. And God created the home, and He designed the home, and He knows what it takes to make it work in every instance, every person involved. And it contradicts what most of us have been taught and what most of us are being taught about how to have a successful marriage and how to be a right kind of parent and what to do as a child in your home. It even contradicts what I want to believe. There are some things that God teaches us about marriage that just kind of go down hard. And they just don't seem like it would work that way. It just seems sometimes like I might have a better idea about how to make this work. After all, I'm a unique person. My wife is a unique person. And there's never been us put together before on this earth. And so maybe it needs to be changed just a little bit. And we have a tendency to think that about ourselves, don't we? God didn't, whenever God designed the laws and principles about marriage, then maybe He didn't have me and Janice just exactly in mind. And maybe we have to change things just a little bit. You think so? And so we go out on our own, and we make our own decisions, and we listen to advice, because the world's advice, interestingly, feeds our egos. You know that, right? That's why it's so appealing. It sounds good to us. It sounds right to us. It sounds like it fits to us. Because the world gets its reasoning from human reasoning. And so it's only natural that the world's reasoning would be appealing. And so it is, even in marriage and divorce. For instance, as I read through my Bible, and we talked about this last lesson, one of the things that we learned in our last lesson was everybody submits. Everybody submits. And as you think about this, I want you to spend a little bit of time thinking about this, because in the context here, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21 through chapter 6, verse 9, he's going to talk about wives submit, husbands submit, children submit, parents submit, slaves or servants submit, and masters submit. But you know what? This is just talking about the home. We also submit to government, don't we? And that's not all. We also submit to one another in the Lord's church. And so when you stop and think about it, every role that we have in our life is a submissive role. Every role. We submit to God. We submit to Christ, don't we? We submit to one another. Now, that doesn't feel right because, you know, as long as we're talking about God and Christ, well, I can accept that, but now we're getting down kind of on equal level here, and you start talking about me submitting to you, then we may have to talk about that some. We start talking about wives submitting, and we say, yeah, you know, that's good. We husbands do. But whenever the Lord starts talking about husbands submit, we think, now, wait just a minute. Everybody submits. And we really need to understand that and put that into our process because it changes you. That one concept changes your whole attitude about life. Because we don't see ourselves in a very submissive role much of the time. In order to impress how fundamental this submissive role is in our lives, then the Lord chooses to use the family as an illustration of how we submit. And even, we noted last time that even the role of leadership is a submissive role. See, we've not seen it that way. Remember how we started this thing off in 1 Kings chapter 12? What the old man said to Rehoboam? They said, if you will have a servant's heart, and if you will be willing to answer to the people. Well, how many people that get in a high position of office have those two characteristics? If they did when they go in, they lose them pretty quickly, don't they? But if we'll maintain that in our life, and so I want to give you a little piece of advice right here also. You need, and I need, to understand the role that God has given to me, and I need to learn to be happy with it. Not just learn it and not just accept it, but I need to learn to be happy in it. Otherwise, I'm not going to be happy in my life, or either I'm going to throw the traces. And I'm not going to accept that role in my life. I'm going to pick out my own road. And I'll make up my own role as I go along. And so we need to learn what God's role that He's assigned to me as a husband, to you as a wife, to you as a child, to us as parents. We need to learn what that role is. We need to accept it. And we need to be happy with it. The world tends to make us unhappy with the roles that God's given to us. And so if you listen to the world, you're going to find out all of these reasons why this is not going to be any fun. And this is not going to turn out very good. And so we need to learn to listen to the right voices. This morning we're going to be talking about the submission of the wife. And also, by the way, we're going to be talking about that again tonight. And we're going to go into a lot more detail tonight in Scripture than we will today, than this morning. And so we're going to talk about, first of all, this matter of submission. And verses 22 through 24, he says, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body of which he's the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Ladies, I know what the world has been telling you. But I'm not going to apologize. And I'm not going to tweak what our Bible says about you submitting to your husbands. And there's a tendency for us to not talk about these matters anymore because they just don't fit very well into the thinking of our times, does it? But I'm pretty sure that this is what the Lord intended, and this one passage here is not a fluke. And I'm pretty sure that the Lord's serious about this because the Bible says it a bunch of times. The New Testament says it a bunch of times. He started out in the garden by creating a man out of dirt, and then he created a woman to be a suitable helper, he said. He saw that it wasn't good that man was alone, and so he set about to create for him, and the King James word is help meet. And unfortunately, or maybe humorously in a way, we've changed that word, and we grew up, some of us grew up by hearing helpmate, as if it were one word. And we change the word meet to mate. And the Bible doesn't say that a woman is a helpmate. It says, in the King James terms, she is a help meet. And the word M-E-E-T means sufficient or adequate. And so God designed woman as a sufficient, adequate, suitable helper for the man. That's the way it all got started. And I'm pretty sure that that's the way he wants it to be, because we come on into the New Testament and the ideas continued. For instance, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 8 and 9, he's making an argument here. And one of the legs of his argument, if you will, is, he says, "For a man did not come from woman, but woman from man. Neither was man created for woman, but woman for man." Now, should I apologize to you about him having said that? Well, there are lots of folks that do apologize and try to wire around whatever it is he's saying here, because it doesn't sound like that he's saying what people of our age are going to accept, does it? Let me give you a few additional passages, and I'd recommend that you write these down in the margin of your Bible, because whenever you study any one of these passages, you're probably going to want to study all of them. And so there's about four more passages that directly deal with this. There's a bunch more that a little bit more indirectly deal with it. But let me give you these passages, and you tell me if this is what you've been hearing in our society about what a wife's role is in the home. Colossians chapter 3, verse 18. "Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord." 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11 through 13. 1 Timothy 2, 11 through 13. "A woman should learn in quietness and full submission. I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man. She must be silent. For Adam was formed first, then Eve." Titus chapter 2, verse 5. Titus chapter 2, verse 5. "The older women are to teach the younger women. They're to train the younger women to love their husbands and their children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be keepers of the home, to be kind, to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God." Do you get the impression that if a woman refuses to assume these roles in the home, then he's saying there's going to be reason for people in the world to malign the word of God? It would seem so to me, wouldn't it you? Now, we're going to look at all these passages in more detail tonight, Lord willing. But one more passage, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. "Wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without talk by the behavior of their wives." That's the scripture that was read a little bit earlier in your hearing. You get the impression that God intends for wives to be submissive to their husbands? Ladies, I want to say this really slowly, because I want it to really sink in. Don't allow unanswered questions, either real or manufactured, to cause you to ignore the role for which God designed you. Let me say it again. Ladies, don't allow unanswered questions, and there are many. And as we look at passages of Scripture, there are going to be some things that we're going to maybe even disagree about. But don't allow the fact that there are unanswered questions, either real or manufactured, to cause you to ignore the role for which God has designed you. If you do, you'll do so to your own hurt. If you do, you'll miss out on the blessings that God intends for you to have in your marriage and in your home. One of the tactics, and let me explain why I'm saying this. One of the tactics that we use to avoid a teaching that we dislike, whenever the Lord tells us something and we read something that just doesn't go down very well, then one of the things that we tend to do is we throw lots of dust up in the air. We just keep throwing dust up in the air. And we make the issue appear so complex that only a fool would think that he could understand it. And we just keep on manufacturing more and more and more and more questions in this to make it appear, hey, you can't be sure about anything. Now, am I right? Do we not do that? Whenever there is a subject that we're just really uncomfortable with and we don't like what it appears to be saying, we just keep throwing all these questions out. And we just pile them up and pile them up and pile them up. And we make it so complicated that it appears that nobody could understand it. But you know what? What we just read is pretty plain. The principles involved are pretty plain, aren't they? And I want you to know, on a personal level here, I want you to know that when you come to Woodland Oaks Church of Christ, you're going to hear the Bible taught and preached. And it may not go down very well. There are some passages, there are some things that God said that I have a tendency to choke on. And I have to really, you know, massage my throat a little bit to make them go down. They just don't want to go down very easy. And I'd rather throw them out. But they're still there. And I'm pretty sure that one of these days we're going to face the truth of those things. And so we would do well to bring our lives into alignment with what God's saying now. And so, here's some advice. And it may appear kind of harsh on the outside, but I think it's really pretty good advice. If you don't want the responsibility of being a wife and a mother, you probably shouldn't get married and have children. And if you do want the responsibility of being a wife and a mother, you probably better find a guy to marry who wants to marry somebody who wants to be a wife and a mother. Because there are some women who want to be wives and mothers, but they marry a guy that's not what he wants. And you're going to have some real heartache in your life. You're going to have some real struggles in your life. And in tonight's lesson, we're going to look at a few of these passages and bring out some points that I think will be helpful. But I want to note one more thing in this lesson before I leave it with you from Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23 and verse 24. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he's the Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so wives should submit to their husbands in everything. If it is such a demeaning thing for you to line yourself up under your husband, to submit to your husband, and be a suitable helper for your husband, then why is it not just as demeaning for Jesus Christ to submit to the Father? Is it demeaning for him? Did he consider that a demeaning role? He didn't, did he? And you say, well, if he loved me like Christ loved the church, I would be honored to submit to him. And I would say to you, husbands, you better listen up. She just said something you really need to hear. And we're going to talk about that in a couple of lessons coming up. If you follow Christ, she'll follow you. If she's anything of the woman that she ought to be. You won't have to be having all this struggle that's going back and forth. And we're going to talk next week, Lord willing, about a marriage curse. But that struggle is going to calm down if you'll be following Christ and she'll be following you. Ladies, there's lots of advice out there. And you need to be really, really careful what advice you take. Because it affects your life, it affects your family, it affects all your children, it's going to affect their future. And very directly, I might add, it affects our nation. It affects the Lord's church, the decisions that you make. Wrong decisions mess up lots of lives. Marrying the wrong guy may result in dire consequences for your entire life that you can't avoid. And so choose wisely. Know what your God-appointed role is in your life, including in the home. And I might add, it is a glorious role. I want to believe that if God had chosen for me to be born a woman, that I would love the role that he's given to me. Now, I can tell you I'd want to choose the right guy to be married to. But I would love, I want to believe that I would love that role. And you say to me, well, you weren't, so it's easy for you to say that. Okay. I can't change that. A man cannot fill that role. There's not a man alive that can fill the role that God's given to you. And God gave it to you as an honor. Learn to love it. And if you need the prayers of brothers and sisters, your family, to help you fulfill your role in your life, then you can make that need known. Or maybe you need God to give you the strength to bear up under the consequences of some wrong decisions that you've made in your life. And now you're having to live with some of those consequences. And you need God's strength in your life. Then in reality, what you need is not the prayers of brothers and sisters. Let's be real clear about that. What you need is God's help in your life. And one way to get that help in your life is for the faithful prayers of brothers and sisters of a righteous man gets a lot done. And so if you need God's power and strength in your life to bear up under the load that you're living under, then you have that opportunity that God's given to you this morning while we stand and sing.